shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Today is Tuesday, December 16, 2014. The danger level in the world has drastically increased today. Quite frankly, I'm very concerned, and I pray that God has mercy on us. Before I delve into the most troubling developments today, I want to mention that a U.S. federal judge blasted Barack Obama's amnesty scheme for illegal immigrants. The judge called it unconstitutional. I don't know if the judge even knows that President Obama never signed an executive order granting amnesty. It's another big Obama lie, like his birth certificate. Anyway, the judge issued a scathing memo. Now note that, a memo, not a ruling, a memo, accusing Barack Obama of usurping the constitutional powers of the Congress to make laws. Judge Arthur Swab said Mr. Obama overreached his authority as the country's chief executive by arbitrarily setting up a full system for granting legal protection to broad groups of people in the country illegally. The judge said Mr. Obama was writing laws, and that's a power that is exclusively reserved to the U.S. Congress. The memo came as part of a deportation case before the judge, and the judge's order does not invalidate President Obama's policy. It is only a memo. So there. It doesn't mean you know what. It's just a memo. So the Mac Daddy continues on his merry way, and nothing is going to be done about his criminal behavior. And on top of a criminal policy, a president illegally granting amnesty to millions of illegals, that's criminal in itself. The fact that he didn't even sign his criminal executive order is another criminal charge, but Barack Obama is a serial liar. That's because his father is the devil, the father of lies. But the news media won't touch this story, just like they wouldn't touch his phony birth certificate. They're not going to touch his non-existent executive order. Why? Well, the answer is because the national news media is part of the takeover of the USA. The fix is in, and the news media is in on it, as is John Boehner and the top Republican Party leadership. They're in on it, too. We've been had. We've been sold out by the politicians we elected. They're part of this takeover. I want to move on to the more troubling news. Taliban Muslim militants attacked a school in Pakistan today. The siege lasted for up to 8 hours. The death toll at the public school in the Peshawar region was 141, most of them children. The youngest victim was age 2. The Taliban Muslims doused a teacher with gasoline and set the teacher on fire in front of the children. A 16-year-old boy who was shot but survived the massacre told reporters at the hospital that he and his classmates hid below their desk when 4 Taliban gunman burst into the classroom. The boy said he stuffed his necktie into his mouth to prevent himself from screaming from the pain of his gunshot. He said, quote, I saw a pair of big black boots coming toward me. This guy was probably hunting for students hiding beneath the benches. The man with the big boots kept on looking for students and pumping bullets into their bodies. I lay as still as I could and closed my eyes, waiting to get shot again. My body was shivering. I saw death so close, the boy said, that I will never forget the black boots approaching me. I felt as though it was death that was approaching me. It was death. It's Islam. Islam is death. Now, Sunday night, Monday morning, it was a Muslim fanatic in Sydney, Australia, who took hostages in a cafe in the city's downtown financial district. A young man died when he bravely attempted to snatch away the gun from the Muslim, and a woman died when she heroically used her own body to shield a pregnant woman from the gunfire. How many innocent people must die until the world vomits out Islam? Folks, it must be eliminated. Yes, Islam must be eliminated from the face of the earth. It must be stomped out like cockroaches. It is a religion from hell. Everywhere Muslims go, there is bloodshed and violence. Name one Muslim-dominated nation on the planet where you would like to live. Innocent people suffer because of Islam. And eventually these freaks will get their hands on a nuclear bomb or a biological or chemical weapon, and hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people will die. Is that what it will take for the world to finally get fed up with Islam and eradicate it like a virus? I'm telling you, and I've believed this for a long, long time, at some point, the world will have to obliterate with nuclear weapons Mecca and Medina. It's coming to that point. Just watch. Just wait. At some point, the Muslims are going to get their hands on nuclear weapons and destroy Western cities. And when tens of millions of people die, perhaps the outrage will be so great at that point that the world will nuke Mecca and Medina and get rid of Islam. In the meantime, it's only going to get worse. And the killings and the bombings and the shootings and the beheadings will intensify and multiply and spread like a virus, like a cancer, throughout the whole world until people get fed up with it. But political correctness says you cannot say this. You can't speak the truth about Islam because it's a religion of peace that has been hijacked. Hijacked by who? Who would want it? What took place in Pakistan today is pure Islam. That is Islam. And it's now in the United States, and it's in Great Britain, and it's in Canada, and it's in Western Europe. I mean, the left-wing news media is upset today in Europe because large numbers of Germans went to the streets to demand that the government cut off the flow of Muslims immigrating to Germany. And the news media in Europe is calling these protesters neo-Nazis. They're not neo-Nazis. They're Germans, and they want the Muslims out of their country. just like we want them out of our country. They're troublemakers. Everywhere they go, they cause trouble. I mean, what is so hard about this, to see what they're doing? I mean, they can't even stay in their own neighborhood in the Middle East and not kill people. They're killing people in the Middle East. I mean, at some point, Islam has to be eradicated. They're cutting children in half in Syria and Iraq. They're beheading people who won't convert to Islam. And the news media can't even say it. They'll use words like militants or something. They won't say Muslim. And they won't say... the latest thing is they'll say militants beheaded non-Muslims. Give me a break. No, Muslims beheaded Christians. Stupid news media. Ignorant, stupid, idiotic news media. So full of political correctness that they're idiots. It's not non or militants beheaded non-Muslims. No, Muslims. Muslim murderers beheaded Christians. Let's get it straight. Now listen to this one. Variety magazine reported that the unidentified Sony hackers, and this case is weird. This is getting weirder by the day, and it just got stranger today. Variety reported that the unidentified Sony hackers have threatened a 9/11-like attack on movie theaters on Christmas Day. The theaters that screen the comedy film about North Korea titled The Interview. There have been suspicions that the previous attack on Sony was launched by North Korea in retaliation for The Interview, which includes a scene depicting the assassination attempt on Kim Jong-un, a little fat boy that runs that country. The attackers also released the promised Christmas gift of files. The contents of the files are unknown, but it is called the Michael Linton, which is named for Michael Linton, the CEO of Sony Pictures Entertainment. It said today the world will be full of fear. In fact, I think I have. This is the text of the warning that was put out today by this mysterious group of hackers. Nobody really knows who it is. It could be North Korea, could be China, could be Russia, could be Iran, it could be the United States. We don't know who it is. You don't know anymore. Nothing's real anymore. Nothing is as it seems. You can't take anything on face value as being fact. So we don't know who these hackers are. I've said for a long, long time that the closer we get to the financial collapse of the economic system, there will be major cyber attacks because the elite will use cyber attacks as the cover for explaining the crash of the banking system. So for all we know, the banksters will be organizing the hackers to attack the banking system because they need a boogeyman. They need somebody that the public can hate. So I don't know who these hackers are, but this is what they said. Quote, "We will clearly show it to you at the very time and places the interview will be shown, including the premiere. How bitter fate those who seek fun in terror should be doomed to. Soon all the world will see what an awful movie Sony Pictures Entertainment has made. The world will be full of fear. Remember the 11th of September 2001. We recommend you to keep yourself distant from the places at that time. If your house is nearby, you better leave. Whatever comes in the coming days is called by the greed of Sony Pictures Entertainment. All the world will denounce Sony. So if this threat is legitimate, and it apparently comes from the same source that all the other messages have come regarding the hacking of Sony's computer system, which the hacking did tremendous damage. I've read that it has cost Sony somewhere around $100 million in damages. This is major, major hit on Sony. So if this message out today is legitimate from the hackers who did it, what they're saying is that there's going to be 9/11, September 11 style attacks on the day of the premiere, which is Christmas Day. And you should not be in the places where the movie is premiered. And if you live near the theater, you need to get away. And the world will be full of fear. Well, what are they hinting is going to happen on Christmas Day? Multiple bomb explosions in movie theaters? Biological, chemical attacks released in the theaters? What's going to happen? We don't know. But I think our long-time listeners know what I'm thinking. I'm back to Christmas again. This has been a recurring theme on this program for a number of years because several members of my family, about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, received prophetic dreams about chaos and terror and war and fire in the United States of America. And the common denominator in the dreams was that it was around Christmas time. It was the holiday season. And so for me, every fall, I start to get edgy. I start to get a little nervous that this may be the year. And this is the first year, I've got to say, since those dreams happened, I think it was 2009, possibly 2010, this is the first time there's so many things lining up at Christmas time that really makes me very, very nervous. I don't know how we get through this one. But I know this, it's possible, it's hard for me to imagine this stuff is going to continue another year into 2015. Something's going to pop soon. I mean, can't you feel it? I can feel it. I think we all know. Something's building. Something's going to pop. Something big is coming. The pressure cooker is building. The pressure inside this pressure cooker is increasing. You can feel it. You can sense it. And I just keep praying, God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Because we're living every day by the mercy of God. It's His mercy that has kept these evil maniacs from bringing death and destruction. Because they belong to Satan. And Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the only thing Satan wants to do is to kill, steal, and destroy. All of mankind, he knows the end is coming. He knows that Jesus Christ is coming back to establish his kingdom. Satan wants to kill, maim, destroy as many human beings as possible. He wants them to suffer. He wants them to die. He wants them to go to hell. He's a madman. He's an absolute raving idiot who wants to destroy the human race. And he knows the clock is ticking. And he's pushing every button he can push. He's pulling every lever that he can pull. He wants the world to explode in violence, in war, in bloodshed, in mayhem. It is the mercy of God that is holding this back. But I don't know how long. I don't know how long God is going to hold it back. Let me touch on a few other things. Large-scale hacking attempts are once again hitting the headlines. Reuters reports that the FBI is telling companies to be on alert based on information gathered from its online activities. The document seen by Reuters lines up with recent findings of security firm Cylance, which believes that Iranian-based hackers have been focusing on infrastructure targets in the United States for over 2 years. If an energy, defense, or educational organization were to be exposed in the same way that Sony Pictures has, then the effects would be far-reaching, which is why the FBI is now communicating with companies. If you recall also, several weeks ago, a month ago, the news was, the information was released to us that the Russians have a Stuxnet-like malware virus inserted in the critical infrastructure of the United States of America, the computer systems that operate our nuclear power plants, our electric utilities, our water processing treatment facilities, sewage treatment facilities, dams, bridges, and so forth, wind turbines. And that this malware has been in these systems for at least 2 years. Listen, I'm going to go all the way back to 1999, in fact, to 1998, when we were holding our breath about Y2K, and I said this. I'm on the record saying this 15, 16 years ago, that there were back doors inserted in the computer systems when the remedial work was done on American and Western computer systems in 1997, 98, 99 in preparation for Y2K. I said there were no background security checks done on the hundreds of thousands of computer programmers and IT professionals that were brought in to Western countries to do the Y2K remedial work. And I said 15 years ago, they planted things in those systems. There is a Y2K scheduled for some distant time in the future. And I'm telling you, my friend, we're coming up on it real fast. That stuff's been sitting there, silent, hidden beneath the surface of our computer systems, and somebody is about to activate it. The lights are going to go out. The lights are going to go out. The system is going to go down. The banking system is going to freeze. The power system is going to go down. Let me tell you why. We got two sides that are clashing head on like two billy goats. And that is the West and the East. The United States and the Western nations, Great Britain, United States, and so forth, butting heads with Russia and China over control of the world. And that's what this is all about. It's about control of the world. And neither side has clean hands. The Western system has been bled dry by the international banksters, the thieves, the thugs that run the corporations and the government and the super elite, the Illuminati boys, the Bilderberg freaks. They have bled the thing dry, and they know it. They're running out of time. Russia and China have been building an alternative financial system for at least the last 5 years. I've been talking about it on this program. I've interviewed a lot of experts economists, bankers, investors who know about the alternative system being put in place. When I talk about an alternative financial system, I'm talking about an alternative to the World Bank, an alternative to the IMF, and an alternative to the SWIFT money wire system, and so forth. Russia and China, the BRICS nation, which includes India and South Africa, they are putting together the infrastructure for a system to replace the New York City, London-controlled financial system, the Rothschild system. It's coming to a head. It's ready to clash. And this is a fight for survival. And my concern, my deep concern, is that it's going to go to nuclear war. And we are perilously close right now, dangerously close. Listen, the price of oil prices slumped again today. But even more frighteningly, the Russian ruble currency plunged over 20% today after the Russian Central Bank surprised the world yesterday by hiking interest rates to 17% to try to hold things together. It didn't work. CBS News said today, Russia faces what analysts are calling its gravest economic crisis since 1998, when the country defaulted on its debt following financial malaise in Asia. The country's currency, the ruble, is plunging against international currencies, causing panic among domestic consumers and global investors to withdraw capital. For Vladimir Putin, the meltdown poses perhaps his sternest test of leadership. He can expect little help from Washington. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said today that Barack Obama will sign a measure passed by Congress. He will sign it by the end of the week, applying new economic sanctions against Russia. This is madness. This is absolute madness. This is insanity. The Bilderberg boys, the Illuminati, these Masonic, what words can I say on the radio? They are driving the world to world war. They're pushing us to world war. This article by CBS News quotes Carl Weinberg, chief economist at High Frequency Economics. He says the end is near for Russia's economic and financial stability. This is an unrecoverable spiral. The combination of economic and financial sanctions by NATO governments and the crash of global oil prices has killed Russia's economy, he said. Reuters reported today that three retail currency trading platforms halted trading in rubles, citing growing signs of stress among the banks that underpin trade in the battered Russian currency. FXCM, one of the biggest platforms catering to online and retail traders of currency, said the move stemmed from the expectation of banks that Moscow would impose outright capital controls within the next few days. Traders and analysts said liquidity in the Russian ruble was evaporating fast. These are shocking reports today. Listen, the tread is coming off the tires as the vehicle is going 150 miles an hour down the highway. The tread's coming off the tires. Okay? This is a huge wreck getting ready to happen. It's happening so fast right now that I can barely keep up with the developments and analyze it and get this out to you. But I know where this is going. The Russians don't have any choice. They don't have any choice. We're pushing a Russian bear up against the wall. The bear is wounded. The bear hurts. The bear is bleeding. The bear is baring its teeth. It is growling. Its mouth is wide open. Its right paw is lift it up. It is ready to strike. And these people in Washington and Europe are continuing to jab the bear. This is insanity. They're bringing down a nation with 6,000 nuclear warheads. What on earth do you think is going to happen? These Masonic goons that are in control of the world, of the Western world, these international banksters controlled by the Illuminati, they're using the same tactics on Russia right now, in December 2014, that they used on Libya, that they used on Iraq, that they used on Iran, that they used on Syria. It's the same play out of the same playbook, the same moves. And now they're applying it to Russia. The difference is Gaddafi didn't have nukes. Assad in Syria didn't have ICBMs. Assad and Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein did not have nuclear-armed submarines that can come up to the east coast and west coast of the United States. Do you have any idea what we're doing? This is madness. This is insanity, what's happening right now today, Tuesday. I can't believe this stuff is going on. It's like I'm in a freak house. I want out of here. I want to get out of this place. This is insanity. This news article says President Barack Obama is likely to sign the new sanction bill targeting Russia by the end of the week. White House spokesman said that, well, the president does intend to sign the piece of legislation that was passed by Congress. What did Sergey Lavrov say a few days ago? What did, what's his name, the deputy foreign minister, Ryabkov? He said, if they do it, we will have to respond. Well, how are they going to respond? You have any ideas? What do you think? How will Russia respond? Well, they've got several options I could think of, but it depends on how bad this thing is getting. If they're going down, if the boat is sinking, and they don't have much time, then there's only one option left. But, I mean, before that, they could sell off treasury bonds. They could try to wreck the U.S. economy. They could try to, they may say, look, we're going down. We might as well throw everything we've got at their financial system and try to punch some holes in their boat, let them sink too. Russia and China could team up and start selling off U.S. bonds. Number two, they could do a cyber attack on the banking system. They could just shut it down. They could shut down Wall Street and all trading. They could shut down all ATMs, shut down the whole banking system, throw some chaos into the United States at Christmas time. Worst case scenario is the submarines come up on the West Coast and the East Coast, and they just obliterate us while we sleep at night. That's worst case scenario. And friends, I'm telling you right now, it's a real possibility. It's a real possibility that could happen any day. We are on the edge of World War III. And you know what? This time, the United States of America does not have divine protection, because we become a nation of homosexuals and atheists and lesbians and God haters. We told God to get out of this country. Did you forget that? Did you forget that this country told God to get out? We don't want God in this country. We don't want His name on our public buildings. We don't want His Bible in our schools. We don't want His We don't want his word to be spoken in public venues. So we told God to get out of the country. Well, what if he got out? What if he left? What are you going to do, America, if he left and the Russian nukes show up? If the Russian submarines show up and you find out God left? Who are you going to call on? All you atheists and all you homosexuals, all you God haters, all you Jesus despising people out there that hate the name of Jesus, that despise his name, who attack Christianity? What are you going to do when the Russian submarines show up? Who are you going to call upon? Is your gay God going to come and save you? Is your atheist God? Oh, atheists don't even have a God. Who are they going to call on? I'm telling you, judgment is at the door. It's right at the door right now. And all I can say to you, if you're not saved, you better get things right immediately, like right now. Not a month from now. It's possible we won't even make it a month. I'm telling you, we're living one day at a time. By the grace of God, you need to be saved now. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to be saved now. You need to repent of your sins and ask the one true God of heaven to forgive you, to write your name in the book of life. You need to confess his son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, as the Messiah. And you need to turn away from sin, turn and live a different way. You need to be baptized in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Don't play games. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul, with your eternal destiny. And if you're somebody that's been, quote, you know, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, You continue to dabble on the side in sin. You know, and I could go down a whole list. Doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter what secret sin it is. If that's what you're doing, you need to repent now. You need to stop it. Not just say to God, I'm sorry. You need to stop it and turn. Turn away from your sin and turn to God. And listen, I'm telling you, if you are a born-again, spirit-filled Christian who loves God with all your heart, and you're in the United States of America right now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you. I've been on the air over 15 years. I have said this every way I can say with as much diplomacy as possible so I don't upset people, but we're running out of time, folks. There's no time left to be diplomatic about it. There is a high probability that none of us will be alive 1 year from now. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a high probability none of us will be alive 1 year from now. Unless God has mercy on the United States of America and prevents this country from being utterly destroyed. Because we have madmen running the country right now. We have lunatics running the country. Godless lunatics running the country. They're making decisions not led by the Holy Spirit, but driven by devils. And they're taking the world to war. And if anybody survives this stuff, if there's anybody writing history 50, 100 years from now, if Jesus hasn't come yet, they're going to write about this time and say, what were those people doing? What was in the Kool-Aid they were drinking? Why did they allow this insanity to go on and on and on? Why didn't responsible people rise up and stop it? But I'm trying to tell you, even if you're saved, you better get your affairs in order, because we may not be alive 1 year from now. So you better get your affairs in order for your own life, because the times are that serious. You cannot push a country the size of Russia to collapse and not expect an attack. Russia is collapsing today as I speak to you. And this has been engineered. As last month, Vladimir Putin said there were political forces manipulating the price of oil. He clearly was hinting that he knew who was behind it and what they were up to. He also said he was not going to allow regime change. He was not going to allow the West to bring regime change to his country. He knows what they're planning to do. He also referred to the Nazis in a speech that he gave several weeks ago, in which he reminded the West that the Russian army defeated the Nazis in World War II. And he said, we have the will, the resolve, the courage, the means to do it again. Who do you think he was talking to? I've noticed this trend in the past 2 years, the Russian leaders referring to the United States as the modern Nazis. And they're right. I agree with them. We have been taken over by Nazis. It's the inevitable result of Operation Paperclip, when the CIA brought 10,000 plus Nazis to the United States after World War II. What do you think they did with them? You think they went to Rotary Club meetings? They learned how the Nazis built the Third Reich. And they've been building it in this country. The secret shadow government has been building it in this country ever since World War II. That's why the NSA spies on us. That's why all this surveillance technology is coming out right now. That's why the Constitution has been shredded to pieces. That's why we don't have control of our institutions anymore. We go out and we vote, and it doesn't matter. Why? Because the Nazis are in control of the country. We've been overthrown from within. They destroyed our moral values. They eroded the Christian foundations of this country. They separated us from our God. And it worked. And if we do not reconnect with our God very soon, we're going to be separated from our physical body very soon. That's how severe this is right now. I came across something. I guess you'd realize I didn't prepare for today's program. I just feel like it's too far gone to continue as business as usual. I should be sounding, you know, like a tornado alert alarm right now over the air. Run to the bomb shelter. Prepare. Well, anyhow, last Friday night, I was sitting at home, and I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to go online and search for a specific item. And what came up was something I wasn't looking for, but I had read it a long, long time ago. In fact, when God called me into this ministry, 1998, I had read this material back then. And I don't know, probably the last time I've read the stuff was probably 10 years ago. You know, there's so much of this, you know. I have absorbed so many of these items. You know, they're tucked away in various brain cells, you know. But then you tend to forget about them until you come across them again and go, oh, yeah, let me look at this again. And I know many of you will know what I'm talking about. It was a prophetic dream that a man had in 1971. His name is C. Alan Martin. And I don't even know if Mr. Martin is still alive. This guy, for all I know, had one dream, posted it. It went viral before there was an internet to go viral on, you know. It's just been out there for a long, long time, for decades. And like I said, I read this many years ago. My first time I read it was 98. And probably the last time I read it was around 2004, 2005. I've, you know, tucked away in my files. But it's a dream that he received in 1971. Some people call it the president's dream. Other people have labeled it the dream of the President Street. Now, I've seen different names, but I'm going to read this to you. In 1971, this is C. Alan Martin writing. In 1971, I received a vision of the night in which I was shown a row of houses. It was not until 23 years later that the Holy Spirit gave me a dream which held the key to the meaning of these houses. They represent the presidential administrations of the United States, starting with Harry Truman in 1953 and extending into the future. He said, in the dream, we were fleeing. Now listen to this. We were fleeing the persecution and calamity of the day. A brother was fleeing with me. He fell, and I paused to help him. We prayed, Lord, have mercy. My friend vanished, and I looked around to see that I was at the top of a hill overlooking 12 houses. As I looked to the west, I noticed dark and ominous clouds gathering over one house, number 10, and proceeding through to the last house, number 12. I looked into the sky over house number 12, and I saw an arc of what appeared to be six stars in the sky. One of the stars fell to the earth like a fig that was shaken off a limb. A voice said to me, look to the east. I began to turn to the east, fully expecting to see the Lord coming in the clouds. The dark clouds opened up in two places, and I saw the sun darken and the moon turn to blood. As I looked to the east, instead of seeing the Lord in the sky, I saw an army. The army was made up of ancient armaments, such as battering rams, catapults, and siege ramps. I ran down and joined the army at house number 5. Instantly, I was transported into the future and found myself before what I can only call a temple fortress. The city was gray, in ruins, and desolate. A man had just emerged from the huge double doors of the temple fortress. He was dressed in a suit. A voice said to me, he says he is a god, but he is of the devil. The vision ended. Now, the man that came out of the house, which would be the White House, and this was presidential administration number 12 in this dream, he saw 12 presidential administrations starting with Harry Truman. And so as you label the presidential administrations, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama. Obama is number 12. Now, of course, at the time this man had the dream, 1971, he didn't know the name Barack Obama, didn't know Bill Clinton or anything. But it's, I found it interesting that House number 10, which would be Clinton, he said something dark and ominous gathered over that house. Well, I think that's when things started to get dark in this country. When Clinton was in the White House. That's when evil really started to take hold in this country. But the last president in this dream would be Barack Obama. And what I see here in this dream is that he said when the dream started, they were fleeing persecution and calamity of the day. They prayed, Lord, have mercy on us. And I also noticed a blood moon. I thought that was very interesting. A blood moon associated with this presidential administration number 12, which turns out to be Barack Obama. Well, what is happening right now? We're having four blood moons in 2 years under the time of Barack Obama. The next two blood moons coming up in 2015. I think there's one in April, and the next one is in late September. And so this man saw a blood moon. But he also saw a temple fortress. And he heard a voice referring to this president, which would be Obama. Again, he doesn't say that in the dream because he didn't know the names back then. He's simply saying the 12th president. The voice in the dream said about this 12th president, which we now know is Obama, he says he is a god, but he is of the devil. Well, isn't this man, Barack Hussein Obama, hasn't he been proclaimed by his followers as godlike, a messiah, a Jesus-like character? This man has been adored by his supporters and the news media as having godlike, deified characteristics. And nobody has rebuked them for saying such blasphemous things, and neither has Barack Obama. He's never chastised his supporters. In fact, he's actually played along with it. Because one time at Christmas time, he made a remark, he said, he wanted to correct the rumors he had not been born in a manger. What a blasphemous statement. What a blasphemous statement. What a lying devil. He is of the devil. He's full of the devil. I've been standing alone on the radio in this country saying that he is of the devil, that he is demonic. I've been chastised, I've been criticized, I've been ostracized, not by the world, but by the church, because I dare to say that he is of the devil. He is the most wicked man that has ever been in power in the United States of America. He has caused America to sin against God. He is of the devil, and he's going to bring great destruction and pain and suffering to this country, and the church is impotent. No, let me repeat that. The real church is not impotent. It never will be impotent. The harlot church is impotent. The harlot church is weak. The harlot church is full of fear and intimidation. But that's not the real church. That's just the harlot church. That's these people puffed up with religious pride, pretending to be Christians, but they dare not speak the true word of God because they fear man. And not God. But I have not feared man. I have spoken boldly and courageously. Day after day, month after month, year after year. And when this man came to power, I spoke out and I said, he is evil, he's wicked. And I have been criticized and chastised by a lot of people. A lot of churchy people who don't like me to say it. But I found this dream and recalled reading it many years ago. And suddenly I realized that this man, C. Alan Martin, in 1971, truly was given a prophetic dream. And in that dream, that 12th president was the last president. At least the last president that was shown to him in the dream. And the voice said, he says he is a god, but he is of the devil. I've got a few minutes here. This has been on my mind for days. Let me find this real fast. Ezekiel 22. I've been on the radio since 99. I've been prophesying that there will be judgment in this country if America does not repent. I have prophesied that there will be droughts and famine. There will be war and slavery. And I've never been welcomed inside the churchy world. And for a long, long time, wasn't even welcomed on Christian radio. God's changed that this year. I didn't do it. It just happened. I guess it's because it's time. The Lord told me in 1999 that He would give me a national audience before the judgment strikes, and that certainly is happening right now. But one thing that I encountered over the years were religious people. Church people saying, I don't think that's going to happen, or maybe it's going to happen, but not now, not for a long, long time. I'll tell you what's been on my mind since the weekend, and that's Ezekiel. Did I say 22? It's actually chapter 12, Ezekiel 12, verse 22 and 23. The Lord said, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says, the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. That's been in my mind for days, that all the watchmen who have been warning and prophesying for years, even decades, the time has come, the Lord is going to say, no more will America say, this proverb will not be fulfilled, this warning shall not be fulfilled for a long time. It is now, my friend.